shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the shores of El Pacifico. If you're watching us on Phil TV in HD, that's what you're seeing behind me, the beautiful roiling Pacific. But we are broadcasting here across the United States till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we're on Phil TV in HD as well on our website, philhendryshow.com. So if you want to see a high-definition video cast of the show, you can watch as well over there. Reminder that what do I want to remind people about? Well, later on, we have you and Robert Budd with our News and Information Hour. Also, our souvenir shop is available. Our merchandise shop is available to you there at philhendryshow.com. What was I?
What podcast?
Oh, well, we're going to be starting a podcast probably this weekend, maybe the following weekend. I'm not exact. I haven't refined it yet, but it will be a free podcast that we will make available on a link on our website. It'll be called Phil Hendry Presents, and it'll just be a little extra, if you will, aperitif as to our radio show. I hope you enjoy that. Phil Hendry Presents, a new podcast. A lot of other things that are going on that I'll give you the heads up on as we move along. I think I was going to tell, actually what I was going to say to people is next Monday we will be off because of the filming of an episode there of NFST or National Terrorism Strike Force. That's at NTSF. San Diego SUV, Paul Scheer Show, funny as hell, very proud to be a part of that. Now, yesterday on the show, last night on the show, and if you're on our website, by the way, you can look at the logs. We have show logs that are listed there, so you see what happened on every single show. We had on the program Don Mixa, who is a noted liberal educator, and he quite frankly got people very angry. People got extremely upset because they were being treated to an opinion by this man that he was, in fact, an adequate representative of black people, even though he was white, that he was the one white man that could represent black people. He was also saying that, quote, George Zimmerman should be fed to the Black Panthers, end quote. A lot of very, really explosive stuff. And we had a lot of people angry with that. And as I reflect on that, I believe I can understand why to some extent. David G. Hall, who is the vice president of syndication here for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, is joining us from South Pasadena this evening. And I know, David, you had to take a lot of those phone calls, and I do appreciate you being on the program to kind of talk about this a little bit.
My pleasure, Phil.
Tell me about the complaints.
Well, they all seem to run in a similar vein of... people felt that this man was being, provocative. They felt that he was angering people more, with this opinion about, the fact that, he represented black people, with this opinion that, that this man, Mr. Zimmerman, in the middle of this, terribly tragic situation in Florida, this man, Mr. Zimmerman, should be, quote, fed to the Black Panthers. And I didn't even know that that was being articulated on your program, Phil, until I found out about this.
Well, he was saying that not in the sense of a violent act, but that the man should be somehow symbolically judged.
I heard something about the People's Tribunal or some sort of revolutionary rhetoric like that. I was disturbed because people were angry. They felt that a very volatile situation in Florida was being trivialized, and Phil, ultimately the responsibility is going to have to fall on you.
I understand that, and I think that we were responsible. I mean, the guy's opinion is pretty odious, if you will. His opinion was extreme.
Well, if you accept the response, I was the one that was taking the phone calls, though. That's the
we were taking phone calls throughout the show.
Yeah, but I was taking the phone calls from people who were particularly, they didn't want to talk to you. They didn't want to talk to you. They wanted to talk to me. Now, you have to understand something, that we have an audience of people that are very much wanting to hear both sides. There's no question that's what talk radio is all about. But you cannot play with people's feelings or emotions on these very explosive matters. We have an audience of people that obviously want to see justice done, They also don't want to see it trivialized or have some man on the air who's going to sound as if he is trivializing it. And that's why we had to, at least for tonight, bring in some monitoring device.
Well, these monitoring devices, I don't think that they... first of all, I find it demeaning.
Why is that?
I'm a professional broadcaster. In order to if you don't believe that, if you don't think that I'm professional enough to say what it is that I'm saying and to moderate myself, then you shouldn't be in business with me. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't see it that way. I think sometimes even a professional broadcaster like yourself needs to be reminded that you're stepping over the line.
And well, if I'm stepping over the line, there's a lot of things you can do about it. You can take me off the air.
I can't take you off the air in the middle of the show. You're on the air in the middle of the show. I can't pull you off the air at that time because, obviously, you got to put another body in there and you have to explain what it is you're doing. And I would rather that we all learn together from our mistakes. Now, you had a guy on last night that was talking about feeding George Zimmerman to the Panthers. A lot of opinions that people found very odious on both sides of the issue. And in order to keep this from happening, as you know, we've inserted into a lot of shows that we run these show monitors.
Well, a show monitor is humiliating, and people think that it's some kind it limits my speech. All right.
All right, it's limiting your speech, but it's not limiting the speech of the listeners. The listeners, this doesn't affect them. I just need to know what it is you're saying, and I need to correct it so it doesn't happen again.
And again, it's treating me like I'm a kid.
No, it isn't. No, it's not.
Well, when you have an alarm, or whatever it is you want to call it, a show monitor, and the thing is firing off while I'm talking about something, it's like a kid that's being chastised.
Look, Bill, it's no different, I don't think, from watching a football game. And the referee is going to blow the whistle and throw a flag. Do you feel that those men are being treated as children?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a football game or any sporting event. When the referee blows a whistle and throws a flag, or when the referee says, foul, or the umpire says, makes a call, do you think those people, those athletes, are being treated as children?
No, I don't think they're being treated as children. I mean...
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm doing here.
But that's a fact of their lives, you know?
What do you mean that's a fact of their lives?
I mean, what they do for a living, they're used to having the guy there.
Well, I think in many ways that's what we have to do in broadcasting sometimes. So I was going to ask you
I would really like to talk about this a little bit more.
We're not going to talk about it more. I have to do this, all right, because we've got advertising dollars on the line. Now, what we need to do for you to give the phone number out and get to talking about what it is you want to talk about. And we also have the show monitor in place so I can fire that and see if it's effective.
Well, I'm going to talk tonight about the Guantanamo, about the trying of the terrorism suspects at Guantanamo.
All right, you're going to need to do your monologue and you need to get the number out.
All right, the number is 877-876-7445, but I haven't given out, talked about what I want to say.
Well, go ahead and do that.
And are you going to fire this show monitor?
Yes, but I don't want you thinking about that. I want you to just move ahead with what it is you're going to say. All I want to do is make sure that you're not saying anything that is going to make the phones jump off the hook like they did last night. That's all.
All right. Hi, it's Phil Hendry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And in the news today, Eric Holder has announced that the trial will move forward now for the suspects in the 9/11. Obviously, the people who were the number one conspirators, other than Osama bin Laden, in the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. So as opposed to it being a civilian trial, this is now going to be in Guantanamo, as it was originally planned. As you know, President Obama came in and changed it. I think that this is a good thing. I'm happy to see that finally these guys, who were absolutely terrorist masterminds and terrorist operatives, but were still engaged in a war against the United States, we're not fooling around with some, civilian trial that we're talking about.
Okay, that's the alarm right there. You heard that?
Yeah.
All right. that's an opinion that we're going to have some problems with.
Throughout my monologue, am I going to have to deal with this?
Deal with what?
Deal with you hitting that thing every time I say something that isn't...
Every time you say something that is going to get us in a ringer, yes. Last night you had a guy saying, oh, I'm the white representative, and they ought to feed Zimmerman to the Panthers, saying a lot of explosive stuff. You're doing the same thing now.
And what am I saying that's explosive?
You're talking about how it's okay to try these guys in Cuba. There has been a huge controversy about this. The fact that they should not be tried in Cuba, they should be tried as civilians. Because this is a civilian attack, and because of the fact that their constitutional rights may be jeopardized.
Okay, that's your opinion. My opinion is that they ought to be tried in Guantanamo in front of a military tribunal because they have had... So what is...
That's what I'm saying. I know what your opinion is. And when you give that opinion, that's what we've got to do. So
my opinion is, and has always been, that this guy, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed... You know, David, I can't work like this, okay?
Well, then change the opinion, is what I'm trying to say.
You can't come on a talk show and tell a guy to change his opinion in the middle of his monologue. I said, Eric Holder's initial decision to have this be a New York civilian trial was a ridiculous decision. Well, it was. It was a ridiculous decision.
All right. That alarm is letting you know that you are now expressing an opinion that is going to make my life and the lives of the support staff we have for your show living hell between now and whenever.
I'm still saying that my opinion is, as it's always been, that this should be a military tribunal trial, that having it as a civilian trial and guaranteeing these guys, guaranteeing these people these so-called constitutional guarantees when they're not even American citizens and are, in fact, well, you know.
That's just a reminder.
All right, I got to take a break now, okay? Our number is 877. That was one hell of a monologue I did there. Because I'm listening to you tell me about this thing. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we continue talking here about the accused September 11th mastermind and his cohorts being tried at Guantanamo, which I agree with. And not in New York City, which I didn't agree with. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm joined this evening by David G. Hall, who's the Vice President of Syndication. And what else did you want to say, David? Because you heard the way I answered one of the phone calls.
Yeah, I didn't like the way you talked to that lady.
That woman calls every night, okay?
Well, what do you mean she calls every night?
Every night she's got the same complaint. She doesn't like my show. She wants me to get off the air. This and that.
Well, I don't blame her for the way that you've been... Here's the thing.
You don't blame her for what? That old bag is listening to this show every single night, and she's still bitching about it. If she didn't like it, why is she listening?
Because of the fact that you had that guy on last night. That guy last night, and now you're taking the wrong opinion. Phil, I don't want to tell you what to say. Believe me, I don't.
And not much. I mean, that's basically what this is about, though.
All I'm doing is reminding you that what you're doing, you don't have to stop what you're saying. One of the mistakes you're making is you're stopping what you're saying. Don't stop it. Keep on saying it. I'm just reminding you that the opinion you're expressing is losing you audience and is going to have us fielding some very angry phone calls. Now, I don't know about this old lady you're talking about. I could care less whether she lives or whether she dies. But the fact is, that's a customer, and that's somebody who could very well be on our side if we're able to turn her.
And, but you don't care whether she lives or dies, huh?
Well, in the overall, no, I don't. But you can't get on the phone and start telling her this and that. You have to be, you know, listen to their opinion. And
no, I'm not going to listen every night, night after night, to the same belly aching from the same old lady who says the same thing. So, all right, so what is that supposed to mean?
Don't stop. If that's your opinion, go ahead and say it.
but I'm getting the show monitor.
Yes, you're getting the show monitor, because I'm telling what you're saying is destructive. But if you want to say it, go ahead.
What I'm saying is destructive.
Yes. But I'm not telling you not to say it. That's the mistake that you're making. You think I'm telling you not to say it. I'm not.
I'm telling you, man, that I've got better things to do. I'm in the middle of doing my job, and I will not be harassed by some old bag. I'm not going to be harassed by some old bag who's calling me up. Is calling up the show every night and complaining that she doesn't like... How am I supposed to do the show with that in my ear? David, how am I supposed...
Don't keep referring to it. You're blowing it. You're blowing it big when you keep referring to it.
When I keep referring to this thing, what you got in my ear is what I...
You're blowing it, man. Just move on. Move on with what you were saying. The old bag what?
I don't want to talk about her anymore, okay? I want to get back to this opinion I've got about Guantanamo, which I guess is a... Yeah, see?
Don't refer to it. That's just... That's called the show monitor alarm. It's telling you that what you're doing is going to call... And you know what? I could talk to Candy right now, because we're getting a lot of calls, aren't we? We are. We're getting complaint calls.
And what are the complaint calls for?
What are the complaint calls? What? Because you called the old lady an old bag, and because you... are saying that you're in favor of a military tribunal for the Guantanamo detainees as opposed to civilian, and most people want a civilian trial to make sure that their constitutional rights are guaranteed.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for a minute. I think the majority of people in this country, if we were to hear them accurately, are... God, that's driving me out of my mind, man!
I'm sorry, but that's what the show monitor... is triggered by a reaction from our phones and the opinions that are being expressed. And these are entered in a variety of ways. There is a computerized method, as well as there are manual, and there's a human element. But when we hear opinions being expressed, I'm just firing that off there, that are negative or that are going to hurt us, yeah, then the show monitor goes, the show monitor is fired.
All right, let me just get back to this. Accused September 11th mastermind to face a trial at Guantanamo.
How do you feel about that?
I don't want to say just yet how I feel about it. Okay?
Why?
Because I don't want to keep hearing that thing.
Well, people want to know what you think about it. If you don't give people your opinion, you're damaging the show.
Well, that's what the show monitor's telling me, too. I'm damaging the show.
Yes, you are. But you're damaging the show even worse by not saying what you think about a particular topic.
I'm not going to do it right now, okay? What I want to talk about, first of all, I just want to give people the background of the news. I want to give people the background of the news. Is there something wrong with that?
No, but the longer you delay in giving your opinion, the worse it's going to be.
My opinion is, I think that they... I'm glad that they're being tried at Guantanamo. Well, so if I don't give my opinion, then that's the show monitor.
Just keep talking.
Accused September 11th mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. What is it going off for now?
You're stuttering. You're just stuttering. You go... Bit, 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 bit. People are losing confidence. All right? Just...
The accused Sheikh Mohammed... Not accused Sheikh Mohammed. The accused mastermind...
Oh, man, you are blowing it. Now, you got to pull it together here, all right?
And I'm going to give my opinion, and my opinion is the following opinion. I believe that this is the correct thing to do, and that is to...
Yeah?
Try them at Guantanamo. And the reason why I think... So they don't even want to hear it. The reason I believe that that is proper is for the reasons that I've mentioned before, which is that they are, in fact, combatants, and that this was, in fact, an act of war. Now, the fact that these guys...
Let me ask you a question.
What?
You said these guys are POWs.
No, I did not say they were POWs. They didn't fall under the Geneva Convention's description of what a POW is.
So then they cannot be combatants. Is that right?
No, that is not right. See, if you're not marching under the flag of a...
I suckered you into that. You need to ignore me. And
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on hold.
Wait a minute. Don't you dare...
All right, now we've got a little free... Thank you very much. So, Guantanamo. Well, David said quit drawing attention to it. I'll say whatever I want to say when I want to say it. Don't draw attention to it. Will you get away from... We're going to be back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as we continue to... I don't know what the hell it is we're talking... I think we're talking about Guantanamo and my opinion of it, which is... Yeah, there you go. Not very popular.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. David G. Hall is joining us as we talk about the news. And yesterday, there was a rather vociferous response to Don Mixa, who was the guest, David, and was saying that he was saying some very typically leftist things, you know.
That's exactly right, and that's why people were reacting the way they were. That's why we've had to come in tonight and institute a series of show monitors because, you know, Phil, I don't want to stop you from saying what you're saying, but you're also making it very difficult for us by allowing these people on the air. We have to field these angry phone calls.
I think the guy last night was pretty much a cartoon character. He was kind of a joke, if you want my honest opinion. I mean, I don't, you know, I didn't, anything that he said having to do with being the only white guy that can represent black people to whites, saying that he, you know, he's a righteous white man, I think he said at one point.
What about that feed George Zimmerman to the Panthers? That stuff is bad. And that's what people were reacting to. So tonight, when you express these opinions, you have to understand, I'm on the firing line. Me, Wendy, Candy, we got a number of people here tonight answering these phone calls from people who are basically saying you're offending them with your point of view about Guantanamo and the fact that they should be tried at Guantanamo.
So you're telling me that most of the calls you're getting are from people who believe they should be tried in New York?
Yes. Where you been?
I just don't think that that's the prevailing opinion. You know, my opinion, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that most people believe that the... What is that? What is that?
That's the show alarm.
So what are we doing now, Dave? Are we on a cartoon show or something?
What are you talking about? We are changing it up so it doesn't become static. The fact is that you've been expressing opinions that are not acceptable to the public to the point where we have to change it up. I'm sorry. So you were saying?
I was saying that my opinion that the Guantanamo detainees... Oh, will you come on with that, man?
All right. Change it over. Is Bud there?
Yes.
Change it.
All right, and the other thing in the news was the item here about Tanya Head. You know that this movie's coming out.
Yeah.
And it's a movie called The Woman Who Wasn't There. Now, this is a woman who apparently purported to be a survivor of 9/11. She was, I guess, interested in the Survivors Network that had been started. There were a lot of people who had survived and are a lot of people who survived the attacks on the towers, but the focus of publicity and public attention was not on them. It was on the people who had died. It was on the first responders, on the police and on the fire, and certainly on the dead. So the Survivors Network started.
Yeah, okay, this is really getting boring.
Well, then why don't you play the alarm there, David, so that we know that people are going to...
Want me to play the alarm?
So in any event, what I'm saying here is this lady pretended to be a survivor. She became a member of the Survivors Network. She became a spokesperson.
She pretended.
She pretended to be a member, a survivor of 9/11. She said that she'd lost her fiancé. She said that she had been rescued by a very well-known... one of the heroes of 9/11, the gentleman's name is escaping me now, I'll find it, but he apparently had saved a lot of people's lives before he perished. She said that she was saved by him. I think he was a firefighter. She said that she came from above the 70th floor, or whatever that point of attack was. Only 19 people survived from that floor, from above those floors. So she made all of these claims, and they were all pretty incredible claims. If they were true, anybody who had lived through them and survived them was you know, worthy of a little notice. And so she was.
So people interviewed her?
Oh, yeah. New York Times interviewed her. She was the subject of a number of televised news reports. She became the spokesperson for the Survivors Network. She became a spokesperson for the new Survivors 9/11 Museum, I think. Until finally, she was exposed by the New York Times. She was not answering questions properly. She canceled about three or four interviews.
What do you want to bring that up now for?
Well, because the movie is coming out that's about her.
Right, I understand that, but it is a negative on what was otherwise a very heroic series of actions by people. See, this is, again, where you miss the point. I understand about this woman named Tanya Head, and I've got some misgivings about other things. Let me put it to you that way. I don't particularly like the woman's name. I don't know whether she's really from Spain. I don't know if it's made up. I don't even know if she's made up. All right.
No, she's not made up. She was on TV. They showed her.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of things you see on TV.
Yep. No, this was a real person who was claiming to be...
All right, well, I'll give you that. But the point is, I think it adds a negative to what is otherwise seen as a day of heroic action. There was a lot of tragedy, yes, and there was a lot of villainy, yes, but there was also heroism. And when you throw her into the mix, it muddies the waters. It makes it very, there's no real firm ground to stand on. So I've got to make a call here, and I've got to tell you that you are blowing it by bringing her up. It's a very, very subtle call, Phil, but nonetheless, I'm making that call.
So I haven't said anything right this hour.
What does that mean, you haven't said anything?
I haven't. According to you, when I talked about Guantanamo, I got the alarm. When I talked about this lady, I got the alarm. Why am I getting it now?
Because you're complaining. I think it's making you appear small. I'm just telling you. If you would ignore it and just give your opinion.
How can you ignore something like that that's telling you what you're saying is wrong and still...
If you believe what you're saying, then you believe what you're saying, and that alarm won't mean anything. But when you come off sounding kind of wimpy, and
well, anybody would. I mean, I'm trying.
Oh man, come on.
Yeah, butch up a little bit.
Don't tell me to butch up. All right. So this lady, Tanya Head, was her name, and I, you know, if you got a problem with the name, well, what do you want me to do? Not say her name?
No, I'm just telling you the name is. I don't like the name.
You don't like the name?
Oh no, I'm telling you it's a negative when you say that name. That name.
All right.
You know the name?
Yes, I know the name.
Well, what is the name?
The name of the lady?
Yes.
Well, the lady's name is Tanya Head. She's...
See?
Look at David. Don't play any games with me, okay?
I'm not playing games. It fired up the alarm.
This woman, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what the show monitor alarms are telling you, this woman was a native of Barcelona. She was... Boy, I sure don't know what I said there.
Don't refer to it. Keep going.
The woman was a native of Barcelona. She was a person who was... She was a person who...
Don't keep reacting to it, Phil. When you react to the alarm, it interrupts your train of thought.
The lady by the name of... The lady who was... Yes, her name was Tanya Head. And that was an unfortunate name. Anyway, the lady came to the United States from Barcelona about 2 years after after 9/11. I don't believe that this woman. I know for a fact that she wasn't. The lady. How many of these things are you guys gonna play?
Just those four.
Anyway, this woman came to the United States and immediately became involved in the Survivors Network. And as she became involved in the Survivors Network, it is the feeling of those who've studied this case is that she became more enamored of the idea or enamored of the notion that being a survivor of the attacks of 9/11 made one a bit of a hero or heroine. And so, as the result of that, she began to concoct a story about herself being a survivor.
I'm not telling you this isn't interesting, Phil. It's very interesting, but the deeper you get into it, the more that you're just, you're really blowing it, because people don't want to hear about a phony baloney.
And why haven't you given me the alarm?
Because right now you're telling very interesting stuff about the lady and her travels into this world. But once you start getting into phony baloney, I'm going to have to hit the alarm.
Yeah, for the most part, get a phony baloney.
What? What did he say?
Never mind him. Just go ahead.
The woman became enamored of this notion of being a hero or a heroine, and so she began to concoct in her own way her own story of being a survivor. I don't know what came first. She did say that she had lost her fiancé in the other tower. She said his name was David. She even, I think, had a family name. And that family has since obviously disavowed any knowledge of this woman. They don't know who she is. And the family name has kept, or has been kept, private. The reason why...
What?
I'm curious. Why'd you do that?
Because of the fact that you start to... You're referring to her as a phony baloney.
Yeah, it's a phony baloney.
Okay, bud. Thank you very much. Does he have to repeat everything you're saying?
Well, I'm teaching him.
Anyway, so she said that she was a fiancé of this guy. She went on to say that she was a... she went on to say that she had been rescued by this very well-known firefighter who did perish. The man's name is known to a number of people. I'll find his name during the break, folks. Forgive me. She survived above the point of impact and a great many other things. As the result of all of this, and she was burned. I think she had some blood on her. I don't know. But as the result of it, and by the way, that burn that she has was suffered, I think, at another time in her life. What the hell is that? What is that? Is that the alarm?
Yeah.
Why?
You're sounding confused. Well, she had the burn, and just spit it out, will you?
So she had this burn, which was suffered at another time in her life, which she said
Gotten? Yeah, okay. I'm going to go down the store. I've bought me some. Those are words that have been used since the 19th century.
Fine. Let's take a break. It's the Phil Henry Show here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Oh, boy, you're just messing up, man.
Hang up on this guy before I flip out. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth
Unreal.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You're blowing it.
Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. In a moment, we are going to have a gentleman by the name of Don Parsley who's got a very interesting tale to tell, and we will talk a little bit more about this lady that you don't want me talking about, David. And I, to some point, you know, when we talk about this lady, you know, her name is Tanya Head, and so I keep getting these listener alarms, you know. How am I supposed to...
Look, Phil, I've got to tell you a story. I broke into this business not long after the Watergate tapes were released. Now, on those tapes, was the voice of a president of the United States, Richard Nixon, and he was uttering, on those tapes, profanities, four-letter words. He was using the F word. He was using the S word. Now, I understand that men, at the height of a very tense day, when they're talking to other men, and you're in an office, and even if you're the president of the United States, you're going to use language that is very coarse, at times obscene, at times profane. And yet, I knew that if I did not redact some of those tapes when we aired them, if I didn't cut out some of the S words and the F words, people are going to be upset. Now, is it truth? Yes, it's truth. Do presidents talk that way? Yes, they do. But if I put those tapes on the air of Richard Nixon using the S word and the F word and all of these disgusting words, people would have blamed me, not him, me.
Well, I know what you mean by that.
All right, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Something like that is very, very important, you know? What color socks are you wearing right now? I'll give you an example. What color socks are you wearing?
What color socks am I wearing? I don't know. I think they're black socks. Well, what is that?
Wrong answer.
Well, get out of here. That's not profanity or obscenity. All right, let me go to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Adam. Adam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Hall and Phil Hendry.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I'm 22 years old, and, you know, I've been listening to your since I was 12 years old after my...
Yes, sir.
He kind of turned me on to it, and I'm getting sick of this guy you're talking to playing these things on. I think you're losing, you know, more listeners by playing this.
All right. Watch. See that? Now, Adam, did you hear that? This is David Hall. You heard that. What you talking that way makes the alarm go off. Why? I'll tell you why.
You know, I really think that it's people that disagree with your opinion that are calling it, which
yes,
you know, shouldn't be a matter of, you know, setting off some ridiculous alarm.
People are calling in disagreeing with you, David.
No, they're disagreeing with you.
Well, that's not the opinion of Adam here,
David.
What's
David, that ridiculous alarm? You are being an immature person right now. I'm 22 years old.
Yeah, right there. When you call me names like that, now the alarm goes off. The audience doesn't react well to that.
The audience doesn't react well to that. You don't react well to that. That's who doesn't react well to that. And I think that this gentleman brought up a good point. Most of the people that are calling in behind the scenes are probably disagreeing with you.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know, man. It just doesn't seem to me like most people are going to be upset if I say, oh, wow, they're going to get tried at Guantanamo. Who cares, man? You got the whole city of New York. Those people didn't want those guys tried there because of a safety issue. And oh, yeah, here we go, because I'm saying the wrong thing?
Absolutely the wrong thing. Then you put a guy on the air. I know you're a young man, Adam, and I know you got a long way to go in life, but one of the things you're going to have to learn is things are not always as they seem. And things certainly don't always... You know, come out the way you want. What are you laughing at me now? Boy, this kid. All right,
no,
guess what?
I'm not laughing.
What's that?
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't want to interrupt you. I was letting you speak. I started
He's
to
being
speak.
Polite.
And you started
He's
talking.
Being polite.
Go ahead, sir. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I just, you know, I think it's kind of ridiculous that you are censoring radio.
It's true, you know, but we have to. We have to now. Ever since Dr. Laura with the N-word, you remember that? Then we had Rush Limbaugh calling people sluts.
That is in a different class of, you know, censorship.
Right. This is, you know, we're not even talking the same thing. All I'm saying, I'm just giving an opinion.
I can't hear the young man, Phil, because you're going ba la 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 la. I can't hear him. What did you say, sir?
I said that the N-word is way beyond, you know, anything that is going on here. Talking about Guantanamo, you know, tribunals,
right.
Military
right.
or New York is you know, an opinion. That's not a derogatory statement
exactly.
that basically affects an entire population of people. This is basically a difference of opinion. It's not a derogatory.
Wait. What you had, now you know, Dr. Laura used the N-word, and what was the other guy's name? But, excuse me, Wendy. Don Imus said nappy-headed. You want me to just ignore what Hendry's doing, is that it?
No, he's saying that it's not the same thing.
What is it?
When I say that those guys should be tried at Guantanamo, that's an opinion that people may disagree with, and people may find, you know, their own points of view, but I'm not saying the N-word. I'm not coming out and calling people names.
Well, that's what you think. Well, that's what you think. But a lot of people feel that when you disagree with their point of view, such as the point of view that these guys are being tried at Guantanamo and other people think they ought to be tried in New York, you might as well be calling them N.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, that's completely different. You know, there's plenty of people that are disagreeing with your point of view, David. You know, myself, and I'm sure plenty of other listeners. There's
you're white.
So you are choosing to censor the point of view that you disagree with.
Well, I'm just saying you're white, so I can't call you the N-word.
All right, what if there's a black guy out there that agrees with me? Then you may be calling him the N-word.
No, that's different. That's different. What you're saying. But I don't. I look at. I'll give you that you can have your opinion, but. You can't blame me if when you give your opinion about Guantanamo, people are really, really super offended. I mean really offended, to the point of wanting to burn a building down. And
well, I don't agree with that at all. Hey, look, at thank you very much, Adam. I appreciate the call, and I also, my condolences on the passing of your father as well, and thanks for listening to our show, okay?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it, Phil.
Okay, buddy. See you later, Adam. Okay, nice guy. 877-876-PHIL.
What happened to David Hall?
I hung up on him. That's what happened to David Hall. How do you feel about that? Better believe I hung up on him. Coming up in our next hour, Mr. Don Parsley, we weren't sure whether we were going to be able to get him or not, but we will have Don Parsley on our show to give us a little more background on this phenomenon, which I think is very fascinating, and it is the phenomenon that will be dealt with in this film that will be on Investigation Discovery on the 17th, I think, of April. The Woman Who Wasn't There. We'll give you background, and we'll talk with Don Parsley and get into it next hour here. A lady who claimed to have been a survivor of the World Trade Center attacks, and she wasn't even in the United States. She hadn't visited the United States until 2003. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Where's the alarm? All of that offended me. Thank you.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous, excuse me.
World famous,
pardon. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And more importantly, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And so we have to do it. We have to do the heavy lifting. We have to lead the way. And we do that each and every night here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with all kinds of things, satire, commentary, which is sort of satirical commentary and so forth, plus our website, philhendryshow.com, plus our live streaming video of the show that you can watch at philhendryshow.com each and every night if you have a backstage pass, as well as all of the thousands of hours of archives and so on and so forth. Now, and we also are selling our Ted's Beverly Hills hoodie. Am I getting the...
Boy, man, why don't you let people take a breath, man, before you go into commercial?
Sorry. I didn't mean to inundate you guys with a bunch of, you know, hoo-ha and pitching, but let's face it, you know, times are tough, man, so everybody's got to, you know, man got to do what a man got to do. Hell, I'm just trying to make a living over here, you know.
I can dig that, man, but, you know, don't be, like, burying people in it.
No, I know. I'll let your heads up out of the sales pitch trough here. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. And we do have a number of things we're going to be talking about, much of it related to the Sandusky allegations. Other commentary will follow on other topics. But really, our two primary guests this evening, and there probably will be more, we are going to be talking in a moment to Herb Sewell. And Mr. Sewell was an incarcerated a prisoner at a forensic hospital. He had been remanded there. I believe it was in 1994, remanded there for child molestation. He was convicted, did 8 years there, underwent intensive therapy, and is now at a halfway house and has been an actual news contributor on this program. And you're going to meet him if you haven't met him. And I think that you will hear his story and at least be comfortable with him to this extent, that at least he can comment on some of these stories. I don't know. But we've had Herb on the show before, and he's provided some insight, although it's shocking for people. It truly is to have him, to have anybody like that on the radio show. Later on, we will have Charlie LaFountain on our program, and he's going to be discussing, we're going to be discussing the how to protect your kids. And Charlie is a grandfather. He is a member of Residents Association, where the kids are really closely monitored by the grandparents and the parents, and he'll give us some tips on how they're protecting their kids. And then we'll do our news and commentary hour with Bud Dickman and and Robert Leonard. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're going to bring on Herb Sewell right now so we can talk with him about the latest. Now, first of all, before we talk about anything, Herb, and how are you doing?
I'm very well, Phil. Thank you.
Before we talk with you about anything, let me just update people on the latest. And the latest is that there have been, first of all, one of the mothers of one of these victims has spoken publicly. I heard her on the Anderson Cooper show this evening. I'm sure she's spoken to perhaps other news media outlets. Among the very shocking things that she said, this is almost unbelievable, and it kind of pissed me off, to be honest with you. She said that when she heard from her son that Jerry was doing some stuff that was not quite cool, she went to the school. And the principal called her up one day after hearing this in tears and asked her to come to the school. The principal's in tears and says to her, "Now, you know, I have to talk to you about Jerry, but understand, he's a very nice man. And please understand the ramifications of what you are contemplating, which was going to the police."
I understand.
And so this woman, what she did do is she took her son and she went down to the Pennsylvania version of whatever they call it, Child Protective Services, which immediately contacts the police. Well, what I found to be really disturbing about all of that was the school's reaction and this principal saying, "Hey, now, Jerry's a really nice guy." I mean, I was floored, man. I mean, I got to tell you, I was like floored. I couldn't believe a school. I can understand some stupid people. I understand there's all kinds of, the world's crawling with dumbasses. But for a school with educators saying, "Well, you know, Jerry's a nice guy and understand the ramifications of what you're about to do." And are you kidding me or what? Now, Herb, you were arrested for this crime. You did 8 years. Tell us what happened to you.
In terms of my incarceration?
Yeah.
Well, I was incarcerated. I was underwent electroshock, insulin shock. I was very heavily medicated at one point. And, of course, I'm dealing with other issues in my life having to do with issues having to do with the way that I was raised and my mother.
Were you molested?
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, to be honest with you. I would simply say...
I'm sorry, but they say most molesters were molested.
I'm not willing to discuss that right now, mostly because I don't really want it to appear as if I'm pushing the blame off onto somebody else. My primary interest in all of this, Phil, is how this is going to affect the rest of society as we move forward in dealing with predators, which, yes, you're right, I was one, and in protecting children, and also the lives of former molesters, former offenders, if you will. I prefer to call them offenders because I think that really at the end of the day that's what they were. If you keep calling them molesters, I think that you are saying that, that the status, the extant state of these people is that they are molested. Certainly not. I'm not a molester. And
you have not reoffended.
No, I have not. Well, certainly have not. And I would say to you that I'm in a situation right now observing parole and at a halfway house and doing work by way of telecommuting whereby I keep myself under court order in the strictest of circumstances. Now, it is not to say that I don't try to have a life. And to that end, the South Bay Resident Co-op, which was something I joined, all adults, and is a health organization.
Now, what is this, a social organization?
It is a social organization of adults who are interested in what I guess has been traditionally called sun worship. And this is something that I have to take into consideration. I have to ask, all right, what are the parameters here? Because every other weekend we are meeting at one or two of the beaches in the Southern California area, and we sun worship. What are the parameters?
When you say sun worship, what do you mean? Do you mean you're nude?
That is correct. We are sun worshippers. You wish to call it naturalist. I don't like to use the term nudity because I think it bespeaks a sexuality. It's no sex. This is about sun worship. This is about observing the naturalist lifestyle. Now, what do I need to know? What, lay it out for me, because I don't want anyone thinking that Herb Sewell is out there trying to molest their children. That just isn't the case. But on weekends, certain weekends out of the month, I'd say on average one weekend a month, maybe two, I am with South Bay RC, and I don't have any clothes on. We are sun worshiping, and we're doing a variety of other things. We're swimming. We're playing volleyball. We're doing all the games of over the line, but we are without any. We don't have clothes on. Now, the reason why I say this is that I want to know how does this work with children, so that we don't do anything whatsoever that will run afoul of children.
Well, I first of all, let me ask you this: do you think that that's a good organization for you to be in?
Absolutely, because there's no children allowed. They're all adults. I'm not around children.
Some of these organizations, these naturalist organizations, they have families.
No, not this one. This is all adults. No children allowed.
Okay.
And so, but my question it still stands.
Well, again, so you think it's a healthy organization. I know there's no children around. You're nude on a beach someplace.
That is correct. But it's not just that we're nude on a beach someplace, Phil. We are there as part of a regimen of health, and as part of a regimen of activity and exercise, without clothing, because the idea of clothing at all times is really quite destructive and really quite meaningless. Not that we don't wear clothes to go to work, but you see what I'm saying. But I'm looking for personally, and I think the South Bay Resident Co-op is looking for this, because I brought this up to them. I said, I will be very honest with you. I, at one time, was incarcerated for child molestation. So I don't want to obviously reoffend. What do I do? Where do I go? Who do I talk to? So that I don't have someone saying, isn't that Herb Sewell? And he's standing on the beach with no clothes on, playing volleyball, and looking very cavalier. That's not the case at all.
Well, I can tell you that would be I don't blame you for fearing that, because, if I didn't know you, but I knew what you had done, and there you are, you're playing volleyball, and
Yes, and it is insightful. I understand it's insightful for some people. If you're looking at naturalists, or you're looking at sun worshippers, and there's the obvious fact that on men especially, but also women, when you're jumping about and you're having a very heavy exercise period, or you're doing some kind of exercise, obviously the certain parts of your body are going this way and that. They're swinging around and so on and so forth. And I'm not going to get very graphic on that. I think you understand what I'm saying. And some people find that very insightful. And
well, insightful in that it makes people angry.
Yeah, it would make people angry, and I understand that. And so that already, we've already got one foot in it, if you will, as we're playing volleyball and we're playing over the line and all of these different games. And this is going on with the different aspects of our bodies. And then you have a man or a woman saying, look at those people, and they're obviously exposing themselves. And it makes me angry that the breasts on those women are swinging up and down and the men. And by the way, I've got my children with me. And isn't that Herb Sewell? You see what I'm saying?
Well, do you fear that you're going to be recognized?
Not so much that, but I want to be very clear as to what are the parameters here.
All right, well, how about this? Why don't I just say this? And I'm sure we can take phone calls when we go to our break, which we're going to do right now. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 is our number. Herb Sewell is with us. He's a man convicted of child molestation, was in prison, is out now, is at a halfway house, is under strict parole supervision and whatever that is, Herb. And one of these days you can explain that to us.
Well, it's simply you're certainly you're having to report to a parole officer.
I understand, but you also join some kind of a nudist organization, and you're fearful that someone's going to think you're running afoul of children that way.
That is exactly correct.
Well, let me just say this. Why not have these meetings of nudists where you are on the beach, you have no clothes, whatever, as far away from children as you can?
Because, well, first of all, it's not practical. We have to have these events close to the city and close to the metropolitan areas and the associated environs where people live. You know, you can't ever have this out on a secluded island somewhere.
Well, I don't mean a secluded island, but I mean you certainly don't want to run afoul of children, as you say. So you wouldn't want to have it in any area where there are kids.
But it changes from one week to the next. I am the only one in this organization, as far as I know, that has this problem. I have been incarcerated for molesting children. Everybody else is, obviously, does not have this on a record. So they're moving these meetings all over the place. And there may be a meeting or an event where we are without any clothes on.
Well, I don't know, first of all, legally, how you can do that in California. I mean, nudity, public nudity.
Well, but, yes, but in Florida, and there are other places where we move our meetings around.
All right. Herb Sewell on the line with us. Florida. Does he fly to Florida?
No.
Herb Sewell on the line with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. He's a former. He was incarcerated for child molestation. Now he belongs to a naturalist sun worshiper organization and is afraid that he's going to be perceived as, you know, trying to pick up kids. And he wants to know what the rules are when it comes to that, so that there's no impropriety. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Herb Sewell. Later on tonight, we have Chris Norton and Charlie LaFontaine joining us. We'll be back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL as Herb Sewell joins us from the Los Angeles area. Mr. Sewell was incarcerated at Atascadero Forensic Hospital in Northern California for a period of time as a result of convictions for child molestation. And you were in a pretty serious environment up there, weren't you?
I would say that, yes, I would say it's very serious.
Some pretty, pretty rough people.
Well, I understand that this was a forensic hospital, which means that these people who are considered having these sorts of issues that are emotional or mental, if you will, and so they're not hardened criminals insofar as the cell block in a federal or state prison, but nonetheless, I was there with Randall Toomey, I was there with Walter Belhaven, Patrick William Morris. These were all notorious serial killers. In one instance, Randall Toomey, who was catatonic and was a man, the last physical act that he did on the outside was to murder his entire family. Walter Belhaven, a serial murderer from the time he was 12. So, yes, this is a very, very serious group of people. My crimes pale, I would say, without trying to be too cavalier, but my crimes, I think, would pale in comparison to the Walter Belhaven. Now,
all right, but the point being, you were there, and these are serious people, and your crimes are serious against children.
Absolutely, Phil. Yes, I'm not trying to minimize them. I'm just saying that.
No, I understand what you're saying, and you did your time, and you are out, and you are not supposed to be around kids, but now you're in this nudist group, and
yes, but there are no children in the nudist group. These are adults, and
I understand that. You want to know what the parameters are for what, a nudist group?
I'd like to know what the parameters are for a nudist group, and what are the parameters for nudist groups that have individuals such as myself that are former offenders. And we're trying to work on language, Phil, so that when we do leave prison or we do leave a forensic hospital, the language is, I'm not a former molester, I'm not a former offender. I was a guest of the state of California in terms, and I had aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. And
I think that that's asinine. Asinine.
Why is that?
Because you were molesting children. Aberrant social habits that needed to be corrected. Sounds like you're taking an Emily Post class. Let's go to a phone call here. Yes, sir, you're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. Is the gentleman there online? The gentleman calling in, I forget what his name was. You there, sir?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the air. I forget what is your first name?
William.
William, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, I'm just sitting here and I'm listening and whatnot. And, I mean, for a person to be a sex friend and to want to being in this group. I mean, you have the right to be able to want to, after you do your time, to go out and do what it is that you want to do. But, I mean, it's just certain things out there that you should stay away from. Like, a beach is a public place, you know what I mean? And
of course.
You really can't, you know, predict whether or not a child is going to be around. Like, you're setting yourself up to fail. You know what I mean? You're already going to be aroused, jumping around and exercising, butt naked, you know what I'm saying, with whoever's out there.
Well,
and then,
I'm not looking for children. I understand that, but I'm not looking for children. I'm looking to exercise and be a part of this group of adults that are playing volleyball, and we're enjoying ourselves, picnicking, lunching. But I don't even want the hint of impropriety. And if I'm out there and I've got no underwear on, and a kid wanders.
But that's my point. If you, it's not about what you want. It's about what other people perceive of what it is that you want. And have, and being that your status is what it is, if I walk by with my kid and I do know who you are, you know what I mean? All you have to do is make a funny look that way. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to assume that you're giving him the eye. And the fact that you're butt
that's a good,
makes it even worse.
That's a good point, Herb. What about people that may recognize you?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. If someone does recognize me, such as this gentleman, William, I would be able to, if I've got some parameters, to say to him, William, before you say anything, you know, discuss it. Now, if he does recognize me, and I'm standing there, and I'm in what we call a half regalia. Half regalia means that basically when you're sun worshiping, if it's a cold day, you wear a shirt. Well, wearing a shirt, if you've got a T-shirt, but you're naked from the waist down, I'm basically standing there with my genitals hanging down. And I would hope he's not going to walk by. Yes, sir?
Like, I mean, what beach are you actually able to do something like that?
Well, it changes from week to week. Many of them, sometimes it's Cove down in Laguna Beach, sometimes it's, but they do change from week to week.
Why? Are you trying to stay ahead of the police? I mean, this is...
It is legal in some... Mr. Henry, that was very uncalled for. No, we're not trying to stay ahead of the police. It is legal in some areas of Southern California if you are so many hundreds of yards away from a roadway or that kind of thing.
All right, listen, William, thank you for your call, sir. We got to take a break. I appreciate it very much. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking to Herb Sewell, a former child molester, now out of prison and has joined some kind of a nudist colony and wants to know what the parameters are.
Phil,
we'll be back.
Henry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We're talking here with Herb Sewell, and all of this was really a part of the Jerry Sandusky Penn State scandal that is now rearing its ugly head, and the more we hear about it, the less we like it. Not that we liked it at all. Not that we liked anything having to do with it, but as these facts come out, Herb, they're just more odious and more odious.
Well, I totally agree with you. They are very odious.
And as someone such as yourself who's been in prison for this, you know what people's view is. It's extremely, it is extremely raw. Sometimes it can be violent. Sometimes it's harsh.
Phil, believe me, I know exactly what you're saying, and I know the sensitivities. And I was... I became aware of those as I went through my treatment, you know. And when I got out of Atascadero, after 8 years of being treated for this horrible, horrible compulsion, which is to harm children in this way, you begin to reflect and you begin to see the horror of the crimes that you committed and the horror that you visited on people. And you believe me, a rational mind never wants to be involved with anything like that again. And that is who you're talking to right now, Herb Sewell. I'm not claiming that I was rational then. I'm not claiming that I was rational at any time during my hospitalization. But I'm telling you that today, I have a rationality and I have an appreciation for the dangers and for the harm that I did do. And I'm very grateful for this chance.
All right, so having said all of that, why have you joined a nudist, I don't know what you call it.
Well, first of all, it's not nudist. It's naturalistic sun worship. It's not a colony. It's a club.
And I joined it because I have an interest in health and sport, and certainly wanted to meet people who have a similar interest. The regalia that I'm talking about is called half regalia. What we wear are sweatshirts or sweaters that come just below the navel. And then everything on down, you are disrobed, you're naked. We only wear those in cold weather. But I was concerned because if we're playing volleyball and people see us wearing these sweaters and are, if you'll forgive me for saying, the men at least, their genitals are swinging everywhere, people are going to think that we're trying to make people angry, that we're trying to show off. I don't know what they would think. So that's why I wanted to know the parameters.
Well, what do you mean the parameters? What are you talking about, the parameters?
What are the parameters for me being in a nude club?
And well, have you asked your parole officer? Have you asked the...
I can ask. There's a lot of people I can ask, but it's better for me to get the lay of the land and the feel, because the parole officer is going to tell me, no, 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 no. Whereas people might be more... I can well imagine, for instance. I heard what you said.
Look, you know, you're dancing around us, Herb. I already told you that people have a very unforgiving nature.
People have an unforgiving nature, but when they know that I'm not interested any longer in their kids, then I can get some input as to how to proceed. Because right now, if I'm, for instance, at a beach activity, at a beach function with the South Bay Resident Co-op,
And this is this nudist organization.
This is the Naturalist Sun Worship, yeah.
Okay.
And I am nude, and I'm standing talking to someone. And I'm laughing, and I'm enjoying myself, and suddenly a kid walks by with his parents, and they recognize me. Am I protected? You know, in other words, what do I do? Do I start? I can tell you this. My instinct is to start running. And
your instinct is to start running. Well, maybe that's a good instinct, because if you...
Well, that's patently illegal. I'm not going to be harassed that way.
Well, look at Herb. If you are standing there laughing, why did you bring up laughing?
Because some people may find that provocative, that I'm laughing and uproariously, and someone walks by and recognizes my picture from the newspaper.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. You know.
You don't know. And yet you are judging me. This is what I'm talking about, Phil. The judgment. The constant judgment. You're judging me, and yet you don't know. Should I run?
Should you run? I got to just go back to what people were saying. I would not be in that situation. I would not put myself in that situation, like that one gentleman said, of being a nudist, a former child molester, and now you're standing on a beach laughing and playing volleyball, and a guy walks by and recognizes your face from the newspaper.
Yes.
And that, well, okay, so he's going to confront you, perhaps. And you want to know, what do? Run at that point? Yeah, I think I would.
Well, all right, thank you. Because you just stepped into the trap. That's illegal. He's not allowed to do that. So I said what I said, Phil, to see if you'd take the bait, and you did. And
what do you mean, take the bait? I mean, what else could I say?
You could say something that would be legal. Do I have the legal right to be in the half regalia playing volleyball and laughing? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right to have no clothes on? Yes, I do. Do I have the legal right even to have, as you say, you know, the genitalia swinging? Yes, I do. And
well, no, you said that. Let me get a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Dean. Hey, Dean, you're on a Phil Hendry Show with... Herb Sewell, go ahead, sir.
Oh, hi, Phil. How are you?
Good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a father. I'm the father of a young son, and I'm the father of two daughters. And I'm listening as patiently as I can to the man that you have on your program, and I'm really trying very hard to understand. I consider myself to be a pretty liberal and progressive person. In fact, I've donated much of my time to progressive and liberal causes. And so one would think that I'd perhaps have a better understanding of a man like this.
I would hope you would, sir.
Now, what I want you to do is just not say anything, please, until I'm finished. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm a progressive person, and I think that I'm a liberal person.
That's the same thing.
I Mr. Henry, would you tell him to not say that?
Please, Herb, don't.
Would you please tell him to not do that?
Herb, just let the man finish.
Okay, well, is he the program director of the race?
Would you please ask the man, because I'm trying to be patient, I want to see things on your side of things, but the more you talk, the tenser I get. And I'm into holistic health. I'm into health, too, Mr. Sewell. And
well, I think holistic healing is wonderful.
Would you please...
Herb, just let the man finish.
The sound of my voice, does that bother you?
Yes, it does. Yes. I'm going to say something that I don't think I ever would have said, because I've marched for women's rights. I marched against the war in Iraq. I've been at Occupy San Francisco for 14 days straight, to the point where I have not had a bath or anything decent to eat. My breath... And the reason why I bring that up is I kissed my wife today, and she, my own wife, looked at me and waved her hand like my breath. She used an old line. She said, your mouth smells like the you-know-what army slept in it.
Japanese army.
Yes, and I didn't want to say that because it was very, very politically incorrect.
But it seems to me that you're trying not to be politically...
Would you please shut your mouth?
All right, now hold on for just a minute.
I don't want to listen to this guy, Phil.
All right, hold on for just a minute. Let this man finish, but I have to tell you, Dean, get out what it is you want to get out, and then let Herb talk, because you're spending more time correcting him.
I understand, but when he talks and interrupts me,
this is a free country.
Shut up!
Herb and Dean, I'm going to hang up on you if you yell again. Herb, just be quiet.
I spent 2 weeks at Occupy San Francisco. When I got home to my own wife, she waved her hand in front of her face when I tried to kiss her and said my mouth smelled like, that's correct, the Japanese, and she didn't even use the word Japanese. She used a shortened version of that. So in recent days, our home, which has always been a refuge for progressive thought, for people in our neighborhood, for people in our town, for people in our area of the Bay Area here, it's been a refuge for progressive thinkers. And in recent days, we're under a great deal of stress when my own wife says that I got a mouth that smells like the you-know-what army slept in it overnight.
You're laughing.
And I am not laughing. I'm emotional.
No, I heard you laugh.
And I am not laughing. You want to see me laugh? I'll come to where you are, and I'll sever your...
He's disconnected.
Of course he's disconnected. He disconnected when he was born. You know, when he was born, he disconnected.
Okay, Herb, but as I said, when the man was getting jacked up and getting wound up, you should have just kept your mouth shut. 877-876-PHIL. Harvey Wireman is joining us now. Harvey, I know that you've had experience, obviously, in the criminal area of law, and we have. And I know you know Herb. Give me your take on whether or not Mr. Sewell's activities at a nudist colony make sense.
Well, first of all, I know Herb Sewell. How are you, Herb?
I'm very good, Harvey.
First of all, this man has every right in the world to... He's got every right in the world to go wherever he wants and do... There's a song that came out a number of years ago, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. You know the song they did?
I think that was a song by the Fifth Dimension.
What was that?
A song by the Fifth Dimension?
Yeah, Fifth Dimension.
What do you mean, Fifth Dimension? What are you talking about?
That, the name of the group.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, so this was a song. And it said, you got to go where you want to go, do what you want to do. That's what, I don't want to say that ought to be the theme song of child molesters, but the way we're living these days.
Well, what do you think he should do in terms of this nudist?
I heard the man say five times it's not a nudist, it's a natural, what did you say, Herb?
Yes, thank you, Hobby. It's a naturalist of sun worship, over the thing.
Yeah, naturalist sun worship. As a criminal defense attorney, hold on for a minute. Get Grandpa a big glass of water, that new water that your mother brought. We just got back from dinner, Phil, and I had a delicious... They had a cheese item that I got, but it creates phlegm. So this guy should be singing the, you got to go where you want to go and do how you do it. You know,
I understand about the song "Go Where You Want to Go." I understand that. I doubt seriously whether that's a very good theme song for child molesters. You know?
Why not?
Go where you want to go.
Bill, I'm sure you understand if we've served our time, if we did the time because we did the crime. You've heard that before.
Yeah, but you know something, man. There's such a thing as a supervised probation, etc., and that's what Herb is currently observing. So what should he do in terms of a nudist, or if you don't want to call it that, this sun worship organization?
Well, Herb, the best thing for you to do, the best thing for you to do is if you are, you're out on the sand and you're enjoying your afternoon, I can certainly understand that. You people don't wear pants or something, is that what you do? Well, we wear pants, but we don't wear, on cold days, we will wear a top. And so it comes down to the name. Yeah, but for all intents and purposes, you're naked.
That is correct, yes.
All right, well, then what I would suggest you do is if you see a man walking down the promenade or the walkway or however with a kid, that you very, very slowly approach and say, my name is Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but, and this is very important, Herb. This is very important. I was incarcerated for child molestation, but I've been through intensive therapy, and I'm here with adults. You have nothing to fear, and maybe even because what you don't want to do is make them afraid. So, you see, yes, I'm naked from the waist down, and you can see. And
you must be out of your mind, man. That would never fly.
May I finish? Oh, boy. Can I finish what I'm saying? Bill, you're butting in.
I don't care if I'm butting in. Are you crazy? Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was incarcerated for child molestation. And let me just say to you...
Can you mind if I finish with... I've got...
Hold on. What a whack job, man. Every time I have that cat on the show...
What's wrong with his throat, man? He's always gagging.
Always gagging? How can a guy get a point out when he's gagging up phlegm... And he's not even giving you anything realistic. Hi, I'm Herb Sewell. I was arrested for child molestation. But as you can see now, yes, I am nude from the waist down. But I'm here with all these adults. Okay, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking with Herb Sewell. We've had Harvey Wehrman on the line with us, talking to us about what he thinks the criminal ramifications are of Mr. Sewell, a former child molester, being a member of a naturalist or nature-worshipping organization, and exactly what that can mean to him by way of the law and his ability to remain within the law. We'll get Herb back on the line here, and Harvey is with us from... San Marino, I'm sorry to have to hang up on you, Harvey, but I didn't hang up. I didn't put you on hold so radically. We had to go to a break, you know.
Well, you know, and you also were saying to me that, I forget what you said, but you said that he had no right to be at the beach. And I beg to differ. As a criminal defense attorney, I happen to know what a person's constitutional right, you know, a constitutional right. Constitutional rights are, and the let me jump in here, Harvey, because I know that you're struggling this evening with the phlegm issue, but thank you very much, by the way, for coming to my defense, as it were. I do believe that that we all have to understand that even those of us that have been in prison have every right in the world to do whatever it is we feel like doing within the law. And so the
idea, Harvey, that he's nude on a beach,
Oh, well, the idea that he's nude on a beach, he's not going up to a kid and saying, hi, I'm nude.
But you're telling this guy that if he happens to see somebody that recognizes him, he should walk up to the man and his kid and say, yes, it's true, I was incarcerated for child molestation. Hi, little boy, but I'm okay now. Meanwhile, he has no pants on.
You know, you make everything sound like a twisted joke, Henry. This is the thing that you make everything sound as if it's a gag.
Well, what do you call that? That sounds like a joke to me.
I can assure you, Phil, it's not a joke. It's not a joke when the father is standing there and he wants to run you through with whatever is handy. It's not a joke when they want to come to your house and burn it to the ground with you in it. It's not a joke, I can assure you, when they want to tie you to a tree and set fire to the tree. I've seen it all happen, and I've seen it happen millions of times. You tell them, Herb, because as a criminal defense attorney,
when are you going to retire, man? That's what I'd like to know.
What did you just say to me? Boy, I can't believe you said that.
I said, when are you going to retire?
When am I going to retire? Well, you got a pair on you.
I don't know how it is you argue a case when you're standing in front of a judge and a jury, and you're saying, in your honor, whatever it is you're doing there.
You know something? You got a big pair. Herb shouldn't be afraid of joining a nude colony. Or a, what do you call it, Herb? A nude colonization? No, it's not a nude colonization.
You call it sun worshiping.
I'll do it, thank you. It's called sun worshiping. Sun worshiping? Sun worshiping.
Sun worshiping.
I'll do it. All right, well, you know, you got such a big pair on you, Henry, that Herb shouldn't worry about being in the nude. When a kid walks up, you oughta, because you could sit on yours. I think you would have a pleasant tomorrow.
What a foul-mouthed bastard he is. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get Margaret Gray on the line here as we're talking with Herb Sewell about this idea that he wants to be in a nudist club or something. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I wanted to. I don't know what it is you're talking about, but I heard Harvey mention a song, Go Where You Want to Go. Now, I know that I don't want to interfere with or intrude on the topic, but I heard the mentioning of Go Where You Want to Go. Is that what I heard?
Yes, this is Herb Sewell.
Yes.
Mr. Wyman mentioned the song, Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do.
No, it's not called Go Where You Want to Go and Do Whatever You Want to Do. That's number one. It's called Go Where You Want to Go. The song was recorded by both the Papas and the Mamas and the Fifth Dimension, Phil, and that's what you were struggling with. You know they were a group, right?
Yes, I know they were. It's called the Mamas and Papas. And
I said the Fifth Dimension.
You said the Fifth Dimension.
I know that, but she also said the Mamas and the Papas and the Mamas.
They're called the Mamas and... Boy.
You really don't know your music, do you, Phil?
She said it. I didn't say it.
Well, the song goes like this, okay?
Jesus.
Who said that?
I did. I'm sorry, but I was put on Mr. Henry's show.
Hold on for a minute. One, two, one, two, three. You gotta go where you... Oh, forget it. I can hear the bumper music. You know, you really know how to pee all over a guy's picnic. So, I really hope that you come down with a very, very raging, virulent, sexually transmitted disease.
Phil Henry.
Now go out and make it a great day.
Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Whether or not I have time to deal with this, I don't know. Bud, he wants me to talk to him right now. Is that right?
Yeah, it's Mr. Hall and Miss Gray.
Yeah, David, are you going to bat for Margaret again here?
What is that supposed to mean?
It means every time I hear from you after I've had her on the air, after she's told me to go to hell, after she's told me that she hopes I die in a gasoline fire, after she's told me that she hopes that this most recent one, that I get a virulent sexual disease, and then now go out and make it a great day, I know I'm going to hear from you.
Look, Phil, the lady was trying to sing a song, okay? And you were mocking and laughing and hurrying her along. All I'm saying is I promised her that you could sing the song. You know her husband's wired in. She's got a very heavy husband.
Frank Gray is a major producer in this town. I can't afford to piss a guy like that off.
She knows what she's talking about.
That was Frank.
Oh, really? Oh, gee, I didn't know that was Frank. The only guy I know that confuses genders, you know?
Don't make fun of a man who's got a crippling ailment, Phil. I'm surprised at you.
Oh, come on. It's the goofiest thing in the world.
What are you talking about my husband? My husband has provided a wonderful life.
Margaret, I'm not talking about it any other than I just said. You know, the cat's got a goofy illness. Are you telling me that he doesn't?
Are you telling me he doesn't? That man, Phil, I don't know whether you fell on your head as a child, but sometimes when you get excited, this is what you sound like. That's what you sound like, okay? And
well, you know, Margaret, you're mocking me, and I can't make fun of your singing.
I was a professional singer at one time. I was on Broadway at one time. At one time, I will have you know, Richard Harris stood in the wings and watched me perform with tears in his eyes. And if you make a joke about how he was crying because my singing was so bad, I'll get in my car and I'll come there. I'll go to where you work, and we'll see whether or not a woman is able to hold her own against a man. Would you like to see that? I'm talking to you. Would you like to see that?
No, I was amazed at how all of a sudden the restaurant went away for a few seconds.
I told everyone to shut up because I'm on... Here. Shut up. Shut up. There, you like that? Start talking. When I'm on the phone, Phil...
Margaret, you can sing the song. I just had to get to a break, okay?
Yeah, that's better, okay? Talk nice, will you? We're crying out loud, Phil. We're just trying to get this... Trying to get to a place where we... Get these guests. We appreciate what they can do for us, and we're not pissing people off.
Thank you very much, David.
You're welcome. I'm actually at Temple City Pool.
Yeah, I can hear the pool. The pool tables. Are you playing pool?
No, I'm playing tennis. Wow.
Bill, you're kidding, right?
Never mind.
Wow. Are you playing pool? Did you get that one? Hey, Frank.
I heard what she said. I didn't believe.
I'm sorry, Phil. But sometimes we all have our comeuppance, and sometimes we just have to sit down, and we've just got to suck on it. And tonight's your night to suck on it.
Okay. All right. Fine. I'll suck on it. What can I do for you?
Well, I don't like you saying that so soon after I said suck on it.
What can we do for you, Margaret?
I want to finish singing that song, but Frank, you said what?
I heard Harvey saying that we're talking to this guy about child molestation. I thought heaven and hell.
Heaven and hell that's my choice, too. The reason why I want to sing heaven and hell, Phil, is because, are you kidding me? That's exactly what we're talking about, heaven and hell. And the words I think of Ronnie James Dio are going to stay with us for many, many years. Sing me a song, you're the singer. Do me a wrong... I forget how it goes.
You're the doer of evil.
You're the doer of evil. And so with that in mind, Phil, I'd like to do this song, and I'd like to do it in a respectful way so that we could all understand just exactly what this Sandusky thing is about. Bud Dickman, thank you. Very tight, Bud. I like that.
You're welcome.
By the way, everyone, Black Sabbath is returning. They have a tour for 2012, I believe. So, not that I...
Yeah, I can't go to that. I would vomit if I heard things that loud.
Just shut up. Well, I don't know the rest of the song, but here it is. 1, 2, 3. So it's
Shut her up.
Boy.
All she wants to do is get on and sing. She doesn't care whether it has anything to do with anything, whether it has anything to do with what we're talking about. She just wants to sing. I thought she was going to sing Go Where You Wanna Go.
Yeah, she said it was going to sing Go Where You Gotta Go.
But go where you want to go. I?
No, that's the name of the song.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But then she says you want to do that. Want to do Johnny Jam Dio?
Not Johnny Jam Dio. It's Gates' name, Ronnie Jam Jacko.
Are you two guys mentally retarded, like permanently, or is there hope? Ronnie James Dio.
Yeah, that's what I'm sorry.
And what did she want to sing that for?
Just like you said, she likes metal.
She likes metal. My ass, she likes metal. She just wanted to get on here and sing. That's it. Maybe they're not having a garden party over there tonight. Maybe her bridge night is another night. Maybe they're just sitting around the pool and Frank can't find ice. And so they went out there to the refrigerator at the bar. I don't know what. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Charlie the Fountain is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes to talk about his method and the method of his organization that is comprised of seniors, grandparents, and parents of making sure their kids are safe. It's called Operation One Step. And they feel it's been very, very successful in making sure that the kids where they live, which is out in the Inland Empire here in Southern California, the kids are safe from predators. It's certainly a big story, this Sandusky story, which I was watching today in some of the other new facets of this story that have come out. And a couple of them, one of them, the fact that this mother has spoken out, the mother of victim one, she's made some very specific charges. She said that she was in touch with the school. The school had been in touch with her. They were aware of this guy Sandusky, that this man Sandusky was taking her kid out of class. Can you imagine this? He was taking the kid out of class. And when the mother said, what are you talking about? He's taking him like, oh, well, he does it on occasion. Coach Sandusky, can you imagine your child being taken out of class by someone other than yourself, without your consent or knowledge, and you find out about this whenever, I mean, it would scare the hell out of me. I don't give a damn who the guy is. So there was that. Then the reaction of this principal, when the woman said she was going to go to the police, the principal started to bawl and was saying, please, you don't understand the ramifications of what you're talking about. I've never heard of anything like this before in my life. It's a story that is getting more ghoulish by the second. Coming on the line now with us is Charlie DeFountain, and Charlie's been a contributor to our program. Charlie's retired and has been involved in business in the Inland Empire of California for a long time, but is now retired and is part of this one-step group. Charlie, how are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you for having me on your program. I enjoy your show, and I have to tell you, I don't envy you some of the people that you talk to.
Well, it is part of the job. Charlie, you have a granddaughter, right?
I do.
How old is she?
She's 12. Liz is 12, and we have a grandson, but he's very, very young, because my daughter got married again. She was divorced and married again, and they now have an infant son.
All right, so now you have this granddaughter that you have been very active, along with your daughter and her husband and others in the organization, this One Step. You want to protect the kids from predators, is that right?
Well, we do, and what we wanted to do, and I think we've succeeded in doing, is a very practical way of applying some sort of protection for our grandkids or our children when we are not around, Phil. This is when our children and our grandchildren are at risk, when we are not there to protect them, when we are not there to observe what's happening. You just mentioned this coach, this Sandusky, taking this kid out of class without the knowledge of the mother, and I couldn't agree with you more, Phil. To me, that would be a shocking and very sickening revelation to know that that there were times when my own child was being removed from class by an individual that I now suspect of having assaulted that child. So I can't think of anything more. I think you've used the word ghoulish. I think that's a very good word.
Tell me about One Step. You say it's easy, it's practical. You've had success?
We have had success with One Step, and we call it One Step because it is just one step. Understand that a predator who is going to literally take a child off of a street, somewhere, anywhere, a predator is going to put this child most likely in a car, and that individual is going to be alone with this child for the first few minutes, and unless the police can get to these people and rescue this child for longer than that, and I don't even want to get into, but there is something that can be done in those first few minutes. You make the child not a very practical target for the predator. And what do I mean by that? What I mean is it is not practical to have an individual in close proximity to you who is unpleasant to be around. And I'm not talking about something that the child is going to say or do. I'm simply saying that the very hygiene of this child, and that is the whether it's the smell or the actual cleanliness of the child is so extreme, the problem with it is extreme, they're very unpleasant to be with. So what we've done with our granddaughter, Elisa, and in the one step, is that at least 2 days a week, they are not allowed to bathe, they're not allowed to shower. It sounds very extreme, but you have to listen, because it makes so much sense. And when I first brought this up to the people in our organization, they were very much in favor of it because no one had ever brought this up. But you, for 2 or 3 days a week, you don't allow the child to bathe, you don't allow the child to brush their teeth, nothing. And you also encourage them, because they're so young, to eat, and to eat to the point where they do gain some weight. Because, again, we want to make these children so unpleasant to look at and be around that a predator is going to move on. And
all right, tell you what, Charlie, hang on the line here. We're talking with Charlie the Fountain. Can you hold on?
I certainly can, Phil.
Charlie the Fountain talking with us about One Step. And one of the things that they feel is important is to make a child unpleasant to be around, which means no bath, no brushing the teeth, no cleanliness for about 2 or 3 days a week, so that no predator would want them in the car with them. 877-876-PHIL. Does this sound practical to you? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Charlie the Fountain. We'll be right back here.
Truth.
Stick around.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And philhendryshow.com.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and Charlie the Fountain is with us. We have as well, I believe Margaret Gray is also going to be joining us in a few minutes. We have David Hall in Temple City, California, and a couple of things happening out on the highways tonight that we have to let you in on. But Charlie, again, talking to us, now we have the restaurant. I want to get Charlie the Fountain up. Charlie, is that you?
Yes, Phil, right here.
So talking to us about One Step, where you, and we have some callers to comment on this, but you are discussing and have put into effect some sort of a process by which a child is made unappealing or is somehow repulsive?
Well, that's the logical thing to do, Phil, and that's what we've done. And I said this to the parents. I said, do you want to have a kid in your car that smells and that is fat and ugly and all of this? And of course, you don't want to make your child... Because you know that when your child finally gets to be of age, you're going to put them through a very strenuous training. You know, you're going to put them on a diet, put them through training. But you don't, as they're young, you don't want to make them ripe for the picking, is the way that I look at it. So that's what One Step is about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let me go to a phone call here. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain.
Hey, Phil. Thanks again for letting me talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm an EMT, and I'm here with my brother-in-law, Phil Colt, and we're thinking that this is just an endangerment of health. Not to mention, I mean, they're young, but you're going to destroy...
What do you mean endangerment of health? The endangerment of health is to have the predator get their hands on this young person. I would much rather have that child stink like the city dump than have that child get into a car with a predator. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I agree. You make a lot of sense there, but you've got to be out of your mind to have your kids not brush their teeth. I mean, I discipline my kids if they don't brush their teeth.
And now, of course.
So what you're saying is you want kids to become fat, stinky, and have bad teeth
and unhealthy, correct?
No, I don't want them to degenerate to the point of bad health, but I think that there is a time in their life, once they are past that stage where they are the prime target of a predator, where you put them on a diet, you put them into a rigorous training program, 6 weeks, low-carb, high-protein.
Wait a minute. You've got them eating all kinds of crap, and you've got them not brushing their teeth and all this stuff so that the predator won't go near them, but at some point they're going to have to go on a diet and go into some...
Well, of course you want them to be healthy, just as this gentleman is bringing up. But when they are ripe picking for a predator, you want them to smell and look as and be as unpleasant to be around as possible.
No. There's much better ways for your children to teach them ways to
avoid
these predators.
Well, but I understand, but...
in a Taekwondo class, and we teach them in Taekwondo, if a predator tries to remove them or approach them and take them, they are to drop to the ground and kick and scream as loud as they can. And I think that's a great way to avoid a predator. If a child knows, if somebody grabs them by the arm, to drop to the ground, use their dead weight to drop to the ground and kick and scream. As opposed to
First of all, you're asking a child. The children are very self-conscious. They would be very embarrassed to drop to the ground and kick and scream, especially a young boy, who would make fun of them.
They would be more embarrassed to be fat and stinky and a fat brat.
What I'm trying to say to you, sir, and I know that, you know, I can hear you laughing, and...
Well, it is a little humorous.
No, it is not humorous when we're saying the following thing. I want that predator not to come near my child. I want that predator to avoid my child. Now, I can tell you from my own experience, in our town, we had a guy who was well known to the residents. He was hanging around downtown in the commercial district. I saw this guy, and I waved to him, and I pointed to the car where my granddaughter was sitting, and I said, "You move on." And when he knew that I was Charlie the Founder, started the program, he knew that my granddaughter stunk to high heaven.
What? How do you know that?
Because I know it. And you can teach a kid to scream and yell like a little girl. I think you're going to find a lot of boys don't want to do that. I think they'd much rather smell like a corpse.
Well, come on, man. I mean, if you're talking, just as this gentleman said, he's an EMT. If you're talking about a kid smelling like the city dump, now you're getting into health issues. Now you're...
Why?
Because you are. Because you're getting into, as this man said, decay, tooth decay. God knows, we already got children get head lice, and they get all kinds of things. You cannot protect the child by endangering their health. Listen, Jerry, is that all? Did I interrupt you? I'm sorry.
Abuse. It's called child abuse.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're trying to put a label on it. We're trying to avoid child abuse. We're trying to avoid child abuse.
People here is a predator, number one, they're whacked anyway. A predator, anybody who's going to go after a child is sick in the head already. They don't care if they stink or smell like a rose. It doesn't matter. They're nuts. But when a parent...
Are you kidding? Are you telling me even the craziest predator doesn't want to have something that smells like a big... fat cow turd.
Okay, listen.
Child into a big fat cow turd.
Yeah, exactly. All right, listen, Jerry, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, you know, Phil, people can laugh if they want to, but this is deadly serious business. And
I understand that it's deadly serious business, sir. But you're talking about turning a child into something that smells like a cow turd. At what point does that child get more serious problems smelling like that?
That being molested? You've got to be kidding. I hope your boss is listening.
All right, hold on for a minute. 877-876-PHIL. One step. Make your child unappealing to a predator. That's what his idea is. We'll be back with more of your phone call.
Phil
Hendry Show.
Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain and more of your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Charlie about One Step, which is a neighborhood program that was instituted by himself as well as others, whereby the kids are protected in a sort of a passive way, is what you're calling it, Charlie, because they're encouraged 3 days out of the week not to bathe, not to brush their teeth, and in point of fact, to overeat and do anything they can to make themselves not attractive to a predator. Now, are they doing this year-round?
Well, we'd like it to extend to year-round. Right now, we're negotiating with the school district. We do it during the summertime when the kids want to let themselves go anyway. But we're negotiating with the school district to enable the children to do it during the school hours. In point of fact, we had our own, what we called our own Days of Rage, which was a, it was very much civil disobedience, but we had the kids show up for school on Monday, having spent the last 4 days without a bath, without brushing their teeth, nothing, and we had a confrontation at the school. There were kids there whose parents allowed them to bathe, and there was an issue. And
was it the comfort of the kids?
Well, it was the comfort. It was they claimed that the smell was overpowering, and I made the point to the school district. I said it's supposed to be so that predators are not, seeking our children. So we compromised, and we're hopeful that in the coming spring semester, the kids will be allowed to at least a couple days. I think it was 2 or 3 days out of the month. That they'll be able to practice One Step and really get a good odor going, because this is the most important thing, Mr. Hendry. It's a way to repel a predator when you got that odor, and it is a very distinct odor. One that I recall an older brother of mine who had been in the Marine Corps in World War II, and he had been in Tarawa, where there was a great loss of life, and it was 1 degree above the equator, so that within 3 days, the smell of the Japanese dead was so overpowering and ripe. And he said, if that's what you want to smell, he says, if you can somehow find a way to smell, but he said, you want the kids to smell like that. And I said, well, I'd never smelled it before.
You want the kids to smell like an island full of dead Japanese soldiers.
You find that funny, huh? The death of men?
No, I do not. I find it funny, bizarre, that you want children to smell like that. Let's take a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. Here is Travis. Travis, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Charlie the Fountain. Go ahead, please.
How you doing?
Very good, sir.
All right. Hey, man, that's really disgusting, man, not to have the kids bathing, man.
Could the caller speak up, please? Could you speak up, sir?
Oh, yeah, hold on. Let me, I said that's really disgusting. You got kids not bathing.
Right, but we don't want them to smell sweet like a flower, so some filthy predator could come along and say, wow, this one smells good. You see what I'm saying? We want
not
them
really.
To be so...
No, because if the school's going along with it, the school needs to be shut down. That's sending out all diseases and stuff.
Well, what diseases are you talking about, sir? I mean,
I mean, you're not bathing, man, on a daily basis. You're supposed to at least take 2 baths a day. Do you bathe every day?
I bathe? I take showers. I try to only take 1 shower a week, though. And this is my own personal...
You take 1 shower a week?
Yes, sir. But I'm retired.
That means there's something wrong with you, too, then.
No, sir. Now, I take a shower a week. I do do what we called when I was
water.
Well, no, sir. I take what's called a sailor's shower, where I wipe down.
Why are you not taking a daily shower?
For my own personal reasons. I think the water supply is hard water. I think it's very unhealthy. And
man,
I can tell you that
it's unhealthy not to bathe every day.
Well, I can
it's
tell
really
you this.
Unhealthy.
I can tell you this. That,
and brush your teeth every day. Use the
But, sir, can I ask you a question? Are you suddenly my mother? Of course you're not. I will do what
no,
I'm
not
I'm
your mother
about
or your father, but you're supposed to be taught
right.
That when you was coming up to wash every day.
I can tell you this. That
I need to ask. I need to ask the caller Travis to turn his radio down. Travis, we can hear the radio in the background. Will you turn it down?
I can tell the gentleman this. I can tell the gentleman now. See, he's going to be over there turning his radio down.
No, he's listening.
I'm right here.
All right. Well, you walked over to turn your radio down, so you didn't hear. Didn't you walk over to turn your radio down?
You're supposed to be taught to bathe every day. Your mother
I was.
And your father told you to bathe
I was.
Every day.
Yes, I was
why
taught
not,
that.
Why you not why you not doing what you're supposed to do with your kids then?
For political reasons. The children, to protect the children, to protect them from predators who will not want to put them in the car if they smell like they don't wipe.
Well, how about that kids then? Every day, every day in your community, one parent just go pick up all the kids on a couple of blocks where they located at. And that will work out.
What? Say that again.
Every day, a different parent go pick up the kids from school. All y'all put in money together and just get like an excursion van or something. If you have to make two or three trips, oh well. The kids will be safe that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I heard what he said. He said have the parents get a van and pick all the kids up that way.
Well, that doesn't protect the children when they're out at the mall, when they're out at the movies, when they're walking to a friend's house. There's a million different... What's wrong with the kid being repellent? And I'm just
You want the kids, everywhere they go, you want them to just stay. You want them to be funky wherever they go.
To be what? Funky?
Funky.
Is that what you said? Yes. Look, you might as well know. We teach the kids at least once a week, don't wipe.
Now that is unhealthy. Don't wipe.
Yes, we're trying to do everything. We're trying to save lives, Mr. Hendry. The lives of our children.
You're killing lives that way, man. You ain't saving nothing.
Oh, whoever died from not wiping their rear end? Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on, man. At some point, people are going to... You know, at some point, regular people are going to come to you and say, your kid stinks, man. You better put that child in a bathtub because this is not good.
Well, then I'll say to them, are you trying to kill my child?
And you know what they're going to do? They're going to lock you up in a nut house.
So that's
yeah,
it.
That's right.
So that, you think I'm crazy too, is that it? So you two guys think.
But
go ahead.
I'm saying,
you think I'm nuts?
What I'm saying is, though, if you don't practice healthy hygiene with your kids, how they going to practice it with their kids?
They know how to take a bath. I tell them, this is only so a predator doesn't want to stick you in the trunk of the car. I need for you not to wipe on these 2 days, and we mark the calendar.
What your grandkids must think you're goofy.
No, they do not.
Either that or they must have been raised. thank you very much for your caller, sir. That's Travis.
Was that man laughing?
Yes, he was laughing.
Well, I will tell you this. I think I have sunk to a new low.
Yeah, well, you certainly have.
No, not me. I've sunk to a new low. No, I'm visiting a new low. I haven't sunk to a new low. I'm visiting a low that you've sunk to. And that low that you've sunk to is you laugh at a man that is trying to keep his grandchild...
No, sir, I'm not. I wouldn't laugh at any man trying to keep his children or grandchildren safe. But the method that you're using, number one, I don't believe is going to be effective at all. I agree with that one caller who said that these people that are predators are so sick, they're so messed up, they don't care how the kid smells, they don't care how the kid's dressed. That's got nothing to do with it, man. They'll abduct your child or your grandchild just as fast as any other. And
so they want to put a kid in their car, sit next to that kid over God knows how many hundreds of miles while they take him to a cabin that they've got in the woods, while the kid smells like he wasn't born, he was dropped out of a cow's ass. God.
Will you watch your language, please? 877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Hendry Show. We have a traffic situation that we have to get to, and I want to talk to this gentleman on the line. Hang on the line there, Charlie. Is this... Well, hold on for a minute, because you still have that the restaurant on. Is this Austin?
Yes, sir.
Austin, how are you doing? What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to report. I've had a... Sir, I had an axle break on my truck here just about... I don't know, probably about 20 minutes ago, the axle broke on my truck as a result of me having a swerve, and I had some event take place in the cab of the truck
If you can hear me.
I can hear you fine.
There's a lady that was singing a song, and it caused a disorientation. And I jerked the wheel. It broke the axle. So I've got a semi down here. And I got a cab over. I got a jackknife my cab over out here.
Where are you?
I'm on the 5. I'm on the Interstate 5.
And you jackknifed your semi where?
Just approaching Lake Estee. What do you call it? Six Flags.
You're approaching Six Flags.
Yes, sir.
Magic Mountain up there?
Yes, sir.
Get Margaret on the line.
What she gonna do about it?
She's the one that caused it. Get her on the line.
I don't know if you're talking about. Lady was singing, and I'd like the song to Heaven or Hell on a Ronnie Jane Dio. I've always enjoyed it. But when she started to sing, I went, God Almighty, help me, help me. That's the last I remember feeling. I was praying to God for help. And
what happened?
It was a high piercing, squealing. Oh, God. It was a squeal, all right.
Okay, Margaret Gray is joining us here from Santa Monica. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, what is it?
I'm sorry, but there's a gentleman here who had listened to you sing last half hour, and apparently it caused... Austin, you want to tell her?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Austin Amark. I'm a truck driver up on Interstate 5 right now.
Yes.
I heard you singing Heaven and Hell, and when you hit the high note, I was disoriented, and I had to jerk the wheel, and... got disoriented, I jerked the wheel, and I stabbed the axle, and I had to jack down my truck. And I don't want to complain or anything, because I like that song, but what you've done to me...
Well, I don't understand. Are you saying that you somehow wrecked your truck because of my singing?
Yes, ma'am, because of the high pitch.
I have had a lot of people try to insult me. I can tell you, I've had a lot of men come on to me like I'm nothing more than a $3 hooker, but I've never had anyone say to me that they jackknifed a truck near Lake Castaic on Interstate 5 because of my singing. I think you're lying.
No, ma'am.
I think you're lying. I think Phil Henry put you up to it.
I did not.
No, ma'am. I called a radio show just a few minutes ago.
I think Phil Henry put you up to it. And as the result of your lie, I'm going to sing the song again, and I would suggest you turn your radio down.
No, man, please don't. The radio is on, and I can't turn it off because the electrical got fried when I flipped it. I had to call my supervisor.
I don't care. I'm going to sing the song again. And I find it very, very untoward, Phil.
But wait a minute. You're not going to sing anything on my show because I won't let you.
Get David Hall.
I'll do it right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, she's going to call David Hall.
What if I put you on hold?
Tell David Hall he's going to put me.
You know, I can't believe you, Margaret. Here he is. David?
Yeah, look, just let her sing her song, will you, for God's sake? Just let her sing the song. I've been bothered and bothered and bothered by you. Are you there, man?
David, I'm here, and I want to sing this song because the truck driver said that my singing actually caused him to flip his truck, and I won't stand for that. So I'm go ahead, bud, and we can hit it right. Yeah, there you go.
All right, can you hear the music, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear the music.
Please, ma'am, don't do it. Please don't do it.
Well, I wasn't going to do it until you called it and made an outrageous claim,
ma'am. Please don't, ma'am. I can't. God, please don't.
No, you know, this is taking time out of my life.
Well, then don't sing it.
Shut up.
Oh, God, oh, God.
You're a doer of evil.
Oh, please help me. Help me. What is going on?
I don't know. La, la, la. How do you feel?
All right, let's take a break. 877-876, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is a bitch. The Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us from the Inland Empire is Charlie the Fountain, as we continue to discuss with him the One Step, which is this program of not having your children or grandchildren bathe or wash or take care of their hygiene or even take care of their weight so that they are unappealing to predators. And again, Charlie, there's a lot of different ways we can talk about this, but I the practicality of it, I don't think you've addressed. That is a child that smells like that. And on top of everything else, folks, we've had Margaret Gray and a gentleman on the Interstate 5 up near Magic Mountain who jackknifed his truck this evening, and we'll get back on the line and talk to him if we have time. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Amy on the Phil Hendry Show. Amy, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, Phil, for one, I totally respect you and your opinion about it. I am a mother of five kids. That is totally irresponsible. That is not even adult thinking of telling your children not to bathe or brush their teeth or
Well, you understand, ma'am, that's not my opinion. That's not my opinion.
Oh,
Mr. LaFountain.
Gentleman is calling in, you know, a grandfather.
Ma'am, I'm a grandfather, and in order for you to understand this, I think you need to realize that I only have the best interest of my granddaughter at heart. And
well,
I don't
you
want...
do? Why don't
yes,
you teach your granddaughter, like the gentleman said about self-defense? You're
about
not
what?
Even making any sense about raising our children nowadays to be overweight. And
ma'am, I'm trying to come up with ideas to save our children. When you look at what's going on at this at the pen.
I am all for saving our children. I have a daughter who was molested by her uncle. So tell me, what do you do with your children who come across people who they trust and are supposed to love? What do you tell them?
If your daughter stunk, then the uncle. If your daughter had smelled.
Are you even rational? Are you?
Ma'am, I'm you asked me.
Am I talking with an adult here, or am I talking?
Of course you are.
Mentally.
Are you trying to tell me that if your daughter smelled, and I spelled really ripe, I mean she really stunk, you think that uncle would have gone near her? I don't think so.
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
How is that not making sense when someone smells as if they were if they've been dead for a month?
Okay, you tell me. What about these women who are being attacked and raped? You're going to tell
them
if you would have been stinky and fat, you would. I've heard of 90-year-old women who have been raped and attacked. So you
but for 90, they probably look good. For 90, they probably look pretty good.
Oh, come on.
You are not even making sense, dude. Did your mom drop you on your head too many damn times when you were little?
You mentioned a 90-year-old woman being attacked. I haven't
you
seen a photograph of her. Maybe she was...
Our children are battling today with overweight and obesity, and you're encouraging them to be...
Are you trying to tell me, wait a second, I want to be clear on this. Are you trying to tell me you'd rather your kid cut a dashing figure and get molested or stink like an open grave and be safe?
Oh, that's not the choice.
Let's talk about this.
God.
So,
that's what you'd rather have.
Let's not bathe. Let's not brush our teeth. Let our teeth rot out of our mouth. And then when you get to a certain age, force you to take that weight off and be beautiful and everything. It's people like you that are giving our children bad ideas about their own images. Now you're thrown in there about pedophiles and jackasses like that.
You are trying.
And now you're bringing in our whole image thing?
Ma'am, I'm simply trying to make our children safe. And let's take you, for instance, you're a mother, you're a young lady, you sound like a young lady, I'm sure you're very attractive, you're out by yourself, and maybe your husband's too stupid to give you a cell phone, I don't know, I don't want to comment, but if you smelled bad, and never mind.
You're not even, because
I'm not even one.
Instead of teaching our children,
if
to
you stunk,
show a buddy system, arm our children with the knowledge.
Right, arming kids with knowledge is a very good point. We got to take a break. We have to take a break, Amy, but you made some really good points. And
I don't think she made good points. I'm talking about
Phil Hendry.
Very unfair.